You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What to do when he retire after four Olympic Games? It's a question our guest on this episode of the podcast probably had to wrestle with after ending her sporting career with the ultimate high of an Olympic gold medal. So what now? I'm John.
And I'm Michael. This is Great British Bosses from Anything But Footy. And like many Olympians, it seems moving away from the sporting success, and our guest had some sporting success, believe me, that can prove hard to do. And as our guest prepares to return to an athlete's village, this time as team leader for Great Britain at the Winter Youth Olympic Games.
Hi, I'm Eve Muirhead, and I am going to be the chef de mission at the Youth Olympic Games in Korea, in Gangwon, which I am really, really excited about.
Is that the case, Eve, that it's just too hard to give up the Olympics?
It's a good question. Like when I retired from the sport of curling, sport was something that I wanted to stay involved in. It's something that I'm very, very passionate about. And when I got asked if I would even consider being involved with the Youth Olympic Games and then being asked if I'd like to be chef de mission, it really didn't take much thinking, if I'm honest. It was something that I knew I wanted to do. And if I can inspire the next generation of athletes, then of course I'm going to do it. So really, really exciting. And it's been a great time so far.
We're going to talk about you and your career and what you bring to the team. But tell us about the Winter Youth Olympic Games for people who may not know what they are.
So the Winter Youth Olympic Games, it's a multi-sport environment. So there's several different disciplines. I guess a little bit like the Winter Olympics in terms of you've got your curling, of course. There's the skating. There's the sliding track, biathlon. Like you name it, it's there. Between 15 and 18 year olds. So it's a younger generation, and it's a chance for these guys to step into the kind of big multi-sport event when they're young. They play a multiple amount of training throughout the year in terms of their own sport. But to get the chance to compete alongside other sports for these guys is very special. But I think I always look at it for them as being a massive opportunity that's in front of them. And I think any time you get your country on your back, especially Team GB, is a great honour. And for these guys to get the chance to do that at such a young age, it's almost like kind of memories and experience in the bank for them moving forward. I think as well, you've got to remember that for a lot of them, this might be the only chance they get to compete at a major game. So it's essential that they make the most of the opportunity. Essential they enjoy it and make friends along the way as well.
How tough is it, Eve, to make that transition then from a youth Olympic arena to the Winter Olympics where you were and where you won your gold?
So I was a little unlucky in terms of where my age kind of sat. I missed out on a youth Olympic Games, but I was there as the ambassador for curling. And I remember going and thinking, wow, this is like such an incredible chance for these guys to learn. The IOC put on so many different workshops, so many different opportunities to be involved in different aspects of the culture, the sport in general, anti-doping, like you name it, there's possibilities there. But for the step up to the major games, of course, it's always going to be a step for these guys. But I think having competed at a Youth Olympic Games, it might make that step a little bit easier. And I think that's the whole point in it, in a way, that we can put the knowledge into the young athletes, so that makes the step forward a little bit easier. Kind of for us, it's making the journey as plain sailing as possible for them.
And you know that you have to put absolutely everything into being an elite athlete. But when you're age 15 to 18, there's a lot of other distractions out there. How challenging is it for people of that age to give themselves to have that elite athlete mindset?
Obviously, as you say, like young kind of teenagers, of course, they're going to be excited. I guess it's going to be quite challenging with certain aspects sometimes. But I think whenever you're an athlete, like you've got that mentality and you've got that drive to be a professional. And I think like for going to Korea, I think one of the biggest challenges, we've got a 12 and a half hour flight and then a 4 hour bus journey when we get there. So that's not going to be the nicest, is it? But I think for a lot of these athletes, it's a case of making sure going with a kind of open mind to make memories, to fill that with experience, to ask questions. I think that's one of the biggest things. Like even for myself, when I was at the major games, like unless you ask questions, you're not going to learn. You're not going to move forward. So it's all about asking questions. It's all about competing to the best of your ability. But then it's also all about using the support that's there. Like Team GB put on such a great support network in terms of the HQ staff, whether it's physios, doctors. Like some of these athletes might never have used a physio, or might not get everyday access to physios, media as well. Like for a lot of them, it might be their first time they're ever going to be in front of a camera. So it's all these kind of small parts that can really help them when they move forward. But as we said, it's essential that they are open to learning. And that's one thing that I really want to kind of push into them, that it's a huge opportunity for them. So don't take any of it for granted.
I think it's about 2,000 athletes going to these games across 15 Olympic sports that you mentioned as well. What about from a Team GB point of view? How many people are you taking out there athlete-wise?
So we're looking at roughly about 42 athletes, which is quite a big team, if I'm honest. We've got sports ranging from curling, biathlon, sliding. We've got luge, bobsleigh, ice hockey, which is great. There's 13 ice hockey players going out, but it's only going to be like a 3-on-3, so that's going to be exciting. Short track, figure skating. So we've got a good variety of sports out there. And then, of course, you've got all the GB small sports as well. It's tough for those guys because their qualification was very, very late. And a lot of their season didn't start till kind of December time. So it's very kind of cutthroat in terms of qualification and quota spots. But it's exactly the same when you go to a major games as well. There's sports that aren't announced until weeks before. And for these guys, it's going to be similar. So it's going to be a really kind of a close-knit team as such. It's going to be a little bit challenging logistically out there. It's quite spread out. We're using a lot of the same arenas, same competition venues as what was used in Pyeongchang Winter Olympics. So sustainability is a huge part of it. Reusing facilities, so it's going to be great, and it'll be great to see these young guys kind of in action.
Now, we've had Mark England and Georgina Harland on past series of these. They have also been called Chef de Mission. What does it mean to you? What does Chef de Mission mean to you?
Do you know what? So many people ask me, when I say I'm the Chef de Mission, like, what's the Chef de Mission? It's quite hard to kind of pinpoint exactly what it is. I guess it's the boss, but then again, it's it's like leading the team as such. You've got a lot of decisions to make, but of course I'm not like full time with the British Olympic Association, so it's quite different coming in and making certain decisions when you know that the people you're working with have been there for several years and of course know a lot more about this side of it than me. So it's a learning curve, and it is, and it will be till the day I come home. But it's something that I've kind of really been open to, and I'm trying to learn as much as I can. I have realised that being an athlete, you do take it for granted how major games are run. You forget or you don't realise how much goes on the other side to help you have such a smooth journey. And I think for that, it shows that Team GB did such a fantastic job, like when I was an athlete, because I didn't realise there was everything that happened. Like there's problems or issues all the time, but they're kind of smoothed over as an athlete. But when you're on the other side, like you're kind of front and centre dealing with that. So yeah, it's been a real eye-opener for me, but I think really, really good, because like I always wanted to kind of show that I did respect what went on to make events run so smoothly.
I love the fact there you said the word problems, then you slightly corrected yourself to issues. I think, do we use the word challenges sometimes? Is that
challenges
the word?
Is probably a good one. I think, yeah, every games there's going to be some kind of challenges. Like touch wood, so far it's been very good. But I think once you get out there, whether it's the language, whether it's the travel, whether it's the food, like there's always going to be small issues, but let's hope not. I mean, challenges.
What's your chef style? Are you going to be mum, best friend, nice aunt, evil aunt, school teacher?
I think a little bit of all of the above. No, like I think I just want to be, I want to be really approachable for the athletes. I want to help them as much as I can. I think as a chef, it's so, an example is, let's say we're waiting on a bus coming, like the other HQ staff, it's like making sure that bus is there on time. But for me being the chef, it's like, is this bus comfy enough for these athletes to travel on? So they're going to perform the best they can. So it's making sure that you do all you can to help them. But you've got to remember as well, like they're coming with team leaders, they're coming with coaches. So it's making their journey easy as well. And it's helping them if they have any challenges in terms of the performance for their athletes. So a lot of different points. But of course, like I want to be approachable, I want to be fun, and I want them to go away knowing that they've performed the best they can. And they've also kind of got a lot of memories to take home.
I always think it's funny when we interview former Olympians, or Olympians, I should say, they're never former Olympians, but we say they've retired. Well, of course, you've got another 40 years left of work to do. So is this something you'd like to maybe moving forward?
Yeah, it's funny that, because whenever I say to people like I've retired, they're like, "What, really? You're only kind of mid-30s?" And I'm like, "No, I've retired."
You must have raked it in.
Yeah, I've retired from elite sport, and believe you me, I've definitely not retired from other things. But in terms of moving forward, it's a good question, because if I'm honest, I still probably don't really know what in particular that is I want to do. Right now I'm kind of dipping my toe in at lots of different points. I'm doing a bit of coaching as well, some public speaking, working with a lot of brands, and of course doing my work with Team GB. So I don't know, if I'm honest. Right now I'm just kind of exploring what opportunities there is out there. But yeah, definitely not retired, but retired from curling, that's for sure.
And is this easier than prepping for the London Marathon, because that's when we last caught up with you?
Well, yes, let's just say I would not recommend a marathon, but like it was like, do you know what, it was honestly an experience of a lifetime. Like it's, once you cross that finish line, it's a sense of relief. You know all that hard work you've put in's paid off. But I'm the kind of person that if I have a job or if I have something in front of me, I always need to make the best job of it, and I give it absolutely everything. I don't think I missed a day's training leading into that marathon. Lucky enough to have Steve Cram's expertise. So you don't want to let people down. So I'm the same with what I'm doing going to Gangwon. Like I want to give it my best shot. I don't want to know that there's things that, oh, if I'd done that might have helped or whatever. Like I give it everything. So yeah, I would say just as tough.
This is Great British Bosses from Anything But Footy.
This is Anything But Footy, a Great British Bosses, the behind the scenes conversation with men and women in British sport.
And we are speaking to Eve Muirhead, who's leading the Team GB delegation at the Winter Youth Olympic Games. We're coming up to 2 years, the 2 year anniversary of you winning your gold medal. Are you tired yet of hearing the words Eve Muirhead, Olympic champion, Olympic gold medalist? Does it bore you when another school assembly or another brand introduces you as that?
No, it definitely doesn't. It's funny, I was on like a kind of podcast last night and they showed the kind of highlights again, and it still gives you kind of goosebumps watching it back. And even like I got a delivery earlier on and the guy's like, "Are you the Olympic champion curler?" And I'm like, "Yes." And then, "Oh, we love watching the curling. I can't wait to tell your daughter and things." So it's amazing how people still remember. And of course, you never really get tired. Well, you don't. I don't think I ever am going to get tired of knowing that I'm an Olympic champion and hearing people say that. But yeah, time's flown by. I can't believe it's almost 2 years. And someone said the other day as well, it's almost 10 years since we won our bronze in Sochi. Like, that's just crazy. Time's flying by.
And I mean, John kind of said rather facetiously earlier that you've been raking it in since winning a gold medal. That's not actually the case, is it? I mean, you work so hard for that gold medal, but you know, and we've kind of mentioned it, there's still a lot of life to live and you know, a career to be had.
Oh no, absolutely. And you know, Those words, raking it in, are definitely not the fact. I was lucky enough; I did retire at the top, Olympic, world, and European champion. But you've still got to work hard. Someone still needs to pay the bills here. I enjoy working. I definitely didn't want to retire to sit at home and twiddle my thumbs. I'm the kind of person that likes keeping busy, and I always will. It's been a chance for me to realise that there is a life out there away from being an athlete, because when you're an athlete, you're so consumed within that and you give it your all. You're in such a set routine, and now it's very, very different. So, just kind of taking every day as it comes, a lot of things at short notice, but it's been ready for all that.
And looking back, Eve, can you now look back even more and go, okay, yeah, that was my biggest success? Or actually, that's the one bit I really regret of my career. Has time allowed that?
Yeah, I always do look back. And of course, like winning the Olympics is the highlight of anyone's career. And in the curling world as well, when I won the world champs in 2012, that was also a big highlight in my career. That kind of gave you that confidence moving forward. And then we got our bronze in Sochi. So you look back and there's so many great, great memories. And someone asked me not long ago if I had any regrets within my career. And you know, I don't know if I did. Of course, there's events that you come away from and you don't do as well as you want to. And at the time, it's maybe a regret, but it's those events that make you stronger when you move forward. So I don't know if I do, if I'm honest. And the same with retiring, like people will, you should have carried on. You're still so young. Yeah, maybe. But for me as a person, like I've been full-time curler since, God, like 15, 20 years. And my first Olympics was in Vancouver 2010. Like it's been a tough, tough time. So yeah, I don't think I have any regrets. I definitely don't regret retiring. And a new kind of chapter opens in front, doesn't it?
Absolutely. The Winter Youth Olympics, obviously there's a Summer Youth Olympics as well. Eve, is it something that maybe we as a country should be looking to stage? Because people talk about the success of London 2012 and when are we going to bid for the Olympics again? Well, actually, we could do something that would help the young people even more than, say, London 2012 did.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I think, like you say, there's a winter, there's a summer, there's also a European Youth Olympic Festival. There's definitely a lot of kind of possibilities out there. And I think the way a lot of multi-sport events are going, it's all about sustainability. It's all about reusing facilities that are already there. And of course, London has that structure in place. I guess financially, that's where a lot of battles are. And we can see that with the Commonwealth Games and other multi-sport events. So, yeah, of course, it would be fantastic for Great Britain to host such an event. I think anything to get young kids involved in sport. I think right now in Great Britain, we've had a lot of success, whether it's the Lionesses to hosting the World Cycling, you name it, the Ryder Cup a couple of years back, like you name it, we've had major events. So of course, if we can get a Youth Olympic Games here in Great Britain, that would be fantastic for sport and for Team GB.
You use the word sustainability there. Hannah Mills is one of our guests on this series of Great British Bosses, and that conversation is very much about sustainability with Sail GP, of course. Our Christmas special was with Shemi Alcott, and we talked a lot about sustainability and winter sports with Shemi. What is the future, do you think, for the Winter Olympics? Is it a model that perhaps might need to change moving forward? I know the IOC have kind of now routed a plan through to 2032, 2036, but can it go on in the same way that it has?
It's a good question. And I think as well, you've got to look at climate, don't you? You look at the last couple Winter Games and a lot of it's been fake snow, isn't it? You look at Cortina coming up, and with the possibility of the sliding being in a different country, is just showing that it's becoming a challenge. But it's all about, as you say, sustainability, reusing facilities, it's financial cost to build new ones. So I think it eventually, of course, it's going to be a challenge, yes. I also think as well, the summer games, you look at climate, like we're going to have athletes competing in all sorts of heat. So you've got to look at that as well. But it's just the way the world's going. So I think it's always an ongoing conversation, how it's going to last, what we can do to make it last. But for me, like the last thing we want to do is change that multi-sport culture into more of a, like your own sport championship, because the Olympics is a very special event because of that. And we don't really want to go down the route of going to these and you're in your own little kind of village, you're in your, or hotel, you're in your own arena, and you don't feel like you're part of that big team. Because we all know Team GB, it's got that good, like we want to be one Team GB, and that's what makes it so, so special. So hopefully we don't go down that route too much. But the way the world's going, whatever needs to happen, I know they'll make decisions that will be the best for the sport.
Because it is going to be a challenge, isn't it, to create that home from home, which Team GB tell us all the time that they want to create for their athletes and the support staff. But as athletes, you're going to have to be aware of things like your carbon footprint, for example,
that's exactly it. And then we look at Paris, though, like the travel to Paris. There's going to be very limited flights going, which is great, because we are trying to reduce that carbon footprint. And it's always an ongoing, I'm part of the Athlete Commission with Team GB, and it's always an ongoing conversation, like, how can we reduce plastic, for instance, with the kit you get? Like, we're always talking about how to reduce this. So it is definitely, we're definitely talking about it. And I think we are definitely getting better at it. But like what you say, we don't want to lose that one Team GB. We want to keep that home from home, because like I know, speaking to other athletes from different countries, when you're at an Olympic Games and they just can't believe, like you walk into our apartment and you've got sofas, you've got TVs, you've got coffee machines, you've got everything to make it home from home. And that's what makes our performance stand out compared to the rest, because you feel like you're at home. Other countries don't have this. And that's what makes Team GB so special.
So no pressure then, Eve, that you're in charge of it.
Absolutely. I'm on it.
last question for me. Michael mentioned there about the Winter Olympics. I think in the French Alps at 2030, although I see the curling is going to be in Nice. I mean, a little bit of south of France in February. Are you sure you don't want to come back, maybe?
I know, like, every games I've been at, I've been in Canada, Russia, Korea, and China. And now the next Olympics is, of course, in Italy, and then we have France. So, yeah, I've definitely chosen the wrong times, haven't I? I know, yeah, it's going to be stunning. It really is. And it's great that we have some kind of, we have it in Europe, like for time change, for supporters, like it is, it's going to be fantastic.
And the final question then, as you head out with your delegation to Korea for the Winter Youth Olympic Games, what represents success? Is that measurable for you by the amount of medals that come home, or is it the fact that someone might sit on that long bus journey or long plane journey on the way home and just say, you know, I've had the best experience of my relatively young life at this point.
Yeah, like it's definitely not about medals for these guys. I think for those athletes as well, I think it's a great chance for them to see where they are at their age against other competitors within their sport from around the world. Some of them might have never competed at that level against other nations. So for them, it's a good chance for that. But I would love them to come away knowing that they really enjoyed it. They learned a lot and they want to carry on pushing forward and they want to keep getting better and better.
Well, Olympic gold medalist, marathon runner, mum, best friend, nice aunt, evil aunt, school head teacher, and now chef de mission for Team GB at the Winter Youth Olympics, Eve Muirhead. Thank you for talking to Great British Bosses from Anything But Footy.
Thank you.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.